with Dan and Seb.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Seb. And today we're going to be reviewing Possession. 1981 by Andrzej Jawski.
Is that how you say his name?
I think it is. It's Polish, so it's hard to pronounce. It's got all these weird different characters in it to,
yeah,
you know.
Starring Sam Neill of Jurassic Park fame and, what's her name?
And Jani. Her name's, oh, Christ.
This director, it's his only English-speaking film, I'm pretty sure. Yep.
I've seen one of his films before.
I had not seen any of his work.
You'd seen a bit of On the Silver Globe, which I showed you.
Oh, is that? Oh, did he direct that?
Yeah.
On the Silver Globe is a Polish film from the 80s, I believe, or 70s. 70s or 80s. That
Isabel and Jani, that's
Explain On the Silver Globe. It's a Polish film.
On the Silver Globe is a Polish it's a Polish film that they got 3/4 of the way through production, and it's a sci-fi epic where it was very, very experimental. And it got shut down because I think there was a change in, at the time, Soviet Poland. They had a change of a person who delegated.
Change of leadership?
I think, change of leadership on who delegated funding for.
Oh, and they just cut funding?
They just cut funding for it because they
it's a bit shit.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Especially because they were like nearly done and they were just pissy and they said, oh, well, we're going to direct the funding towards something else more important, and then it just
never happened.
It didn't get finished.
But you can watch what is there, what was filmed of the On the Silver Globe.
Yep.
We'll
do our own review.
One day we'll do a review.
Yep. Because I really love that movie. I want to show you that.
I remember the bits I did. I don't know why we didn't finish it, but I did.
It's
really
because we were on leavers at the time.
Oh, we were. It was really cool, though.
No one had the patience to watch the whole thing. It's so long, even without
the missing.
Yeah, bits, the missing bits.
But is there just, it's like text for the scenes that isn't?
No. It's not text. It's for the scenes that were missing because the film got. I don't know why, but the government said, burn everything. We're not releasing this movie. But the cast and crew kept some of the footage of it and some of the costumes and stuff.
Okay.
And in the 80s, when restrictions eased and everything in Poland, the director compiled the bits of the film, stitched it together. And for the scenes that were missing, he took contemporary. Well, you know, it was too late to film all the, you know, some of the actors I think might have been dead or, you know, older and stuff. So they decided to shoot contemporary Poland, just shots of it using a Steadicam, and the director narrated what was in the script for those scenes.
They
intercut it with the film.
Yeah, right. Anyway, that's not the film we're reviewing today. So,
but I did love that movie. He's a very interesting director.
Strange. The film was very strange.
Well, you know, in Soviet, in Poland and everything, there was a lot of restrictions on which films can be watched and all that. Yeah. So,
I was saying Possession. Sorry, Possession was very strange.
Oh yeah. Well, we'll get into that.
We'll get into that anyway.
But about the money shot from last week.
True. We have to announce. So from the last 2 weeks, we've got the announcements of the money shots that you guys voted on our Instagram.
For Watchmen, Dan won. To be fair, I can understand why. I had to choose my second pick, I think. No, did I?
No, not for that one. We didn't have the same for Shining.
But
however,
I can understand why yours got voted higher, because
it's a more dynamic.
Well, for the shot that I chose, you'd have to have watched the whole movie.
That is true.
To have that impact. When you just look at it.
At the shot. I agree. Yeah. It is kind of,
Yours is actually cool, but like it doesn't have, you know,
as much story depth behind it. I agree with that. And then for The Shining from episode one, it was a tie. It was 50-50, which is pretty valid.
Didn't we already talk about that last week?
No, we didn't say. We said we put it on the screen, but I don't think I did. So, The Shining, we both get a point, and for
We're making this a competition now.
Ish. We're going to keep a tally. There's no prizes or anything, so, but there'll be a tally
Let's just give 1 point to you.
And 1 point each and 1 point to me.
So you've got two, I've got one.
Yeah.
How about you put that on the screen? Ding.
Ding. I might do that. I might chuck a little ding up or something.
Good.
I'm
happy about that.
Anyway, onto some... do you have anything exciting? What have you watched this week?
I have been watching... So I was a bit reluctant because I didn't like Stranger Things 3 that much because it felt like a carbon copy of the first two. I thought the second season... Yeah, it was good, but, you know, like, it's, okay, it's the same thing again. Let's go back down the rabbit hole of, oh, it's the Upside Down, uh-oh.
I have watched no Stranger Things.
Bro.
I just, okay, so this is kind of...
I can understand, but, like...
It's probably my thing. I'd probably enjoy it.
You would.
But the funny thing about it is, as well, is that, so, when I was, I guess, when was it, when season one came out, when we were, like, 12, 13, like, year seven... 2016, I think, and I wasn't watching anything, and in my head, for some reason, I was like, oh, I should start watching a new TV show, and I was like, oh, there's these two cool new TV shows, Stranger Things and Riverdale. And
you didn't have to do that to yourself.
No,
You could have made the right decision by not watching Riverdale.
And to be honest,
what an atrocious show.
Terrible. Look, you know what, I'll still stand by.
First season, mid. Second season, bad.
Haven't even seen
the third. Did you watch any of the other ones?
Pushed through to like season five.
What?
Yeah, it was just one of those things where
I couldn't stand it halfway through season two.
No, I couldn't stand it from about then as
it's
well.
It's so fake deep, don't you
it's
think?
It's awful. It's an awful show, and I just kept watching it
because I don't like people celebrating my birthday because I'm different.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you think I wear this stupid beanie all the time?
I'm very alternative. I don't know. I never, after the first season, I wasn't enjoying it, but I just kept watching it because it was like, oh, it's Thursday. Oh, Riverdale's out. And it was just one of those things. I just put it on and I just progressively over the time, I just hated it and hated it even more until I stopped watching it. And I was just like, you know what? I don't actually, the Wait, reason
I have this realization now, I do not like this.
No, but the thing is, right, I have a thing about, like, if I start a TV show, I don't really want to not finish it because I feel like I need to know what happens at the story. So I stopped watching it. There's like a moment where they finish high school and then there's like a 10-year time jump. And I was like, perfect, cool. That's the end of that bit because they're kind of starting.
But they jump in time 10 years into the future.
Or 5 years. They finish school and then they all go their separate ways. And then it's like they comes back 5 years later. And the show's still going. It's on like season 8 now or something. But I just stopped watching because I was like, great, that's a perfect time that they've like, they wrapped it all up, the whole high school shit. And they wrapped it up and I was like, that's good. I'm happy. I can leave it there.
How many seasons were they in high school for?
Five. So I stopped watching it mid...
Fuck. Five seasons?
Well, I think it was like two seasons per year.
Right.
But the first season of Riverdale, it was an enjoyable teen... When I was 12 and 13, I really enjoyed the first season.
Yeah, I agree. I thought
it was
a
fun... Right. It was like a weird horror mystery something. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was
like
cool
mystery
at the time.
Drama thing.
And I enjoyed it when I was... if I rewatched it, I don't think I'd like it at all. But at the time, I enjoyed it. And then it just got worse and worse and worse. And now I think they have like magic powers and shit. But you know what was better? I feel like I've said this to you before. Sabrina the Teenage... Well, it was called Adventures of Sabrina, whatever.
I never watched that. The first season of that, advertised and I was like, yeah, can't be fucked.
They've done like crossovers and stuff.
It looked a bit cheap.
The first season...
Don't you think? I don't know. I saw trailers and it just looked cheap to me.
I wouldn't say cheap. It just had a real specific vibe. I liked the filmmaking of the first season and then it just carried on. I stopped watching it because it was... I mean, I watched like half the second season and then I called it a day because it was just getting boring. But the first season was cool and it has this really like... All the lenses that they use... Sorry, this is all like filmmaking now. It's not really, all the lenses they use for... the movie have this really like shallow focus. It's the same as in
this is all very filmmaking now. He says on a filmmaking podcast.
Yeah, but it's a movie review podcast. Anyway, I don't know if you remember this, but in Kingsman, in the first, I don't know about the second one, but in the first one, they use these lenses that have this really, there's a word for it, but focus where like literally the focus is only within like the edges of the frame out of focus, you know, even if like face was in, and a lot of Sabrina was like that as well. It had this really cool, there's a word for it. There is a specific type of lens where it's this really tight focus. And a lot of Sabrina was shot like that. And it had this really beautiful bokeh in the out of focus, but it was just nice. There was some cool cinematic shit.
And that's very nice to hear.
Anyway, I liked that. I appreciated that.
We were talking about Stranger Things.
We were. And then it got sidetracked. Anyway, yeah, I haven't seen any Stranger Things. You didn't like.
Well, I liked the first season because... You know, it was just good.
It was good.
It was good. And it had me on the edge of my seat. What did you think about,
without spoiling it for me, because I will probably watch it eventually.
Yep.
Did you like, have you liked season four so far? Well, they don't call it season four. I feel like it's like volume four.
Yeah, they kind of treat Stranger Things as like a movie
series. But yeah. It's a, yeah.
No, I was getting tired of, I thought it was just going to be the same thing again, because I felt like two and three was just kind of like, okay, we're going to recycle it, you know.
It worked.
Oh, no, the evil thing is back. Now we got to destroy it again and do the same thing. Stranger Things 4 introduces a new villain, kind of, that's like kind of in this alternate dimension that is called the Upside Down is what they call it.
Yeah.
And so they introduce this new villain, and it's, I don't know, it's refreshing. To you know, have a new threat, but also, I don't know what it is. It's like, it's Stranger Things 4 has some grandeur that
maybe because there's been a big time gap between
maybe
longer than the other
seasons. All the kids are, they were never bad actors, but like they're
much better actors now.
Yeah. They've all really grown and yeah, the writing is
better.
Great.
Oh, awesome.
No, it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. I haven't finished it yet.
Pleasantly surprised.
But I am very pleasantly surprised. See, I didn't want to do it, and I put it off. I put off watching it because I was just like, oh, it's going to be the same thing.
Mm.
And then I saw a lot of reviews saying, yo, Stranger Things 4 is actually like good.
That's so fair.
I don't know if they're going to make a sequel though.
Another season.
Yeah. I mean, this season is, it's also so much more adult oriented. It's like, it's not a kid's show anymore. It is so dark.
Well, like, I think you have to do that. It's like the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you grow up.
You got to grow with the characters. If it was still as childish as it was, and now they're like fully grown. I know they're still,
I think they realized that all the people who started watching it in,
when they were 13 and now.
Yeah.
18, 19.
Yeah. All the people that started watching when it came out, you know, the primary audience was, you know, what, like us when we were in bloody, like, came out when we were in year seven when it started.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Same as Riverdale.
You know, we've grown with it.
Yeah.
And it is so much more like gory and intense.
Yeah, right. I do want to watch it. It's like, I've heard so many good things about season four.
It's very like shocking, a lot of the stuff that you see.
Yeah.
And definitely not PG in the slightest.
Well, I've heard all the good stuff about season four, but then people go, season two and three. So it's just kind of, now that I know that, it's kind of hard for me to like,
want
to watch it all.
No, it's no, season two and three, they're not, look, season three is probably the worst, but it's not like bad.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, okay, I've seen all this stuff before. Okay, get on with it.
Mm.
But no, season two's worthwhile.
Okay. All right. Well, I will get onto it. I've got to watch.
But honestly, like, I think season four is the best season so far. I thought season one was pretty darn good. So
fair.
Very different vibe, but
yeah,
I enjoy it.
Anyway, onto some other things. Have you heard all this shit about Ezra Miller? You know,
I've seen some TikToks about it. Like, has he like kidnapped a child?
Yeah, he's like, he's off the face of the earth. Like, no one knows where he is. Warner Brothers is like, oh, fuck, what do we do? Like,
I don't know how The Flash is going to be released. Like, that new
movie. What they're thinking. It's just, he's in every scene. And, like, they just, reshoot the film would cost the amount they just couldn't risk it. I mean, I think it'll probably, regardless of if it's a good movie or not.
That's the DC multiverse down the drain. Oh,
they're so fucked, you know? Like, Amber Heard's been, they're cutting Amber Heard from, Aquaman 2. She was only in it for a few scenes because it was already too controversial for them. So she was only in it for half an hour. But they're cutting her and recasting her after. Because the problem is, right?
It's such a mess.
No, the problem with the Amber Heard now is she's lost the trial, but her and her lawyers keep doing these fucking interviews saying that.
It's sad to say that that the only like good thing that's going to come out of, that I feel is that's going to come out of DC in the next like couple years
is the Matt Reeves Batman trilogy.
Oh, that, but also like fucking Joker 2. Like,
hang on. And
how is that better? How is Joker 2 going to be like better than like a fucking?
No, I don't know. Joker was still, I know Joker got memed so much, but it was a good movie.
Yeah, it was.
Actually, hang on. What about Morbius 2? It's Morbin time. What about that?
Joker was a... Let's just talk about Joker for a hot minute.
No, I don't want to know. It's a whole complete... Every film podcast ever has talked about Joker. We can say it's a good movie. That's it. But we've got other things to talk about in limited time.
It does very much copy exactly from like two... It kind of makes two Scorsese films bumfucked.
I just don't want to talk about Joker. It's so overdone.
Have you seen the stuff that it's inspired by? You haven't seen Taxi Driver or King of Comedy, have you?
I have not.
We gotta watch those.
We will watch those. I do really want to watch Taxi Driver. I've actually almost watched it multiple times the last few weeks. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to talk about was this, which also lining up
Ezra Miller.
No, Ezra Miller, yeah, he's jumped off the face of the earth. I think either way,
he's a weird dude, man.
He's a weird guy. Whatever they do with The Flash, I'm thinking...
What is his issue? Like, is he just like... I thought there was like some allegations against him or some shit.
Stuff like that.
Apparently he's real creepy or something.
Yeah.
Look, he kind of just seems like a weird guy. Don't you think?
He probably is.
Face value, just, you know.
He does seem like an odd guy. No, but I was going to say, either way, the Flash movie is going to make a fuckload of money because Michael Keaton's being Batman again, and that'll get every single fanboy up and into the cinemas. Guaranteed.
That is true.
Guaranteed.
But would they even release it?
Yeah, they've... Yeah. I'm pretty sure the budget was insane. Again, it'll make money regardless.
Imagine if Ezra Miller is in prison when it gets released.
That'd be funny. Anyway,
Would they wait to release it until he's out of prison?
Maybe. No. Could be, who knows how long he's going to be. Just 5 years, he's in prison. Oh, just wait. Then they won't make their money back.
Weird guy.
Man, Warner Brothers, they're just unlucky.
What if he's dead?
He might be dead. Then they have to release it.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for Warner Brothers at this point. I mean, I was kind of angry at them for... Well, not angry. Like, you know, disappointed with how they were handling that whole...
How they handled every single DC movie they've made.
Well...
Since
Batman vs.
Superman. No, since...
Man of Steel.
Well, Man of Steel is passable.
Yep.
Anyway, I wanted to say this excites me. This next thing also segueing in with Amber Heard, Johnny Depp. So, you guys might recall Johnny Depp said he would not return to Pirates of the Caribbean. I've actually got the audio clip here.
Why did he say that?
Because, I don't know, he's pissed off with Disney in the way they've treated him.
Oh, righto.
But I just...
And then they offer him off.
And you aren't aware, you said Pirate 6 in your view is dangling. You're not aware of if or when Pirate 6 will be made, correct?
No, sir.
And the fact is, Mr. Depp, if Disney came to you with $300 million and a million alpacas, nothing on this earth would get you to go back and work with Disney on a Pirates of the Caribbean film. Correct?
That is true, Mr. Rottenborn.
Has he since then got off on a lot of money?
No. Not a lot of money. So you just heard him. He said this is a rumor, but I think it's quite backed up. So he said $300 million he wouldn't come back. The rumor is Disney's gone, hey, Johnny Depp, how does $301 million sound? And apparently he said yes, and they want him for a Jack Sparrow Disney Plus series. I'm not sure.
That's how hypocritical.
You know what? I don't really give a shit because as much as the Pirates of the Caribbean movies has steadily declined, I will always watch them because even though those movies are bad, Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow, Captain Jack Sparrow,
he's pretty iconic. Not gonna lie.
It's I could watch him do that all the time because it's incredible.
My patience ends at World's End. That's kind of poetic.
the original trilogy is good. I actually enjoy all three of them.
Yeah. And then like at World's End is like mid, but like it's still good though.
The story's good. I like you connected to all those characters and then unfortunately they just keep like bringing
And then what was the next one after that? On Stranger Tides or something?
On Stranger Tides and then
yeah, I stopped giving a shit.
Is there five? Yeah, there's five. There's On Stranger Tides and then
Dead Men Tell No Tales,
which is also called Salazar's Revenge depending on
Which country you're in,
which I don't know why they had to.
I think here in the US it's Dead Men Tell No Tales, which I think is a more pimpin' like.
No, in the US it's Dead Men Tell No Tales. I think here it's Salazar's Revenge.
No, it's not.
If you look on Disney Plus, I'm pretty sure it says Salazar's Revenge.
When it got released here.
It was Dead Men's Chest, yeah. Dead Men Tells No Tales.
Yep.
But I think the problem that they ran into with Pirates of the Caribbean is that the first one was like, grounded pirate sort of that thing, and then there's a scary undead army, and then the second one they went, what do we do?
Scary Undead Army.
And then the third one, well, that's continuing on. That's acceptable. And then the fourth one, they went, okay, we've wrapped up this initial trilogy.
I can't even remember what happens in the fourth one, man.
They go... Actually, the fourth one doesn't have Scary Undead Army. The fourth one, they go... get the chalice of... Oh, the fucking...
What, Holy Grail or
something? Not the Holy Grail, but like something that you'd never die. And Blackbeard's in it.
Sounds
and
like the Holy Grail, man.
Blackbeard's in it, and he's played by...
The Blackbeard thing had so much potential, I feel.
Absolutely, of course it did. Speaking of Blackbeard, you know Taika Waititi's playing Blackbeard in Our Flag Means Death, his new like little series?
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
Oh, I saw the trailer for the new Jordan Peele film. Have you seen it?
No.
It's called Nope.
What's it about?
It's about this, these farmers.
Farmers.
It's about these farmers, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
That's cool.
And some aliens, start, abducting people or something on the farm or whatever. And then instead of reporting it to the police, this guy and his girlfriend on the farm. I don't know if it's his girlfriend or not. But these couple of people were like, hey, let's not tell the police. Let's try and grab a photo of these aliens. So they like try to get photos of these aliens. Or whatever.
Nope.
But it turns into a horror film, I think. Because that's what Jordan Peele is great at. He's such a great director.
Yeah.
Have you seen Get Out?
No.
Oh, my God.
It got overhyped and then I didn't want to watch it. Everyone's like, Get Out, it's so good. It's so good. And then I was just like, sometimes.
Well, I haven't seen it, but...
Yeah, well, no, I will watch it. But I'm also not a big horror movie person, so...
No, you'll like this.
Okay.
It is... Speaking of new trailers... People are saying it's good for a reason, you know.
Speaking of new trailers, now I know it's getting a bit overdone with all the biopics of famous people at the moment, especially musician Elvis has just come out, blah, blah, blah. But did you see the Blonde trailer?
I do want to see that because...
Marilyn Monroe...
I haven't seen the trailer, but I've seen some screen grabs.
Anna de Armas... I like
great
her.
Great actress.
Yeah, I really like her. And fuck, when I first heard she was playing Marilyn Monroe, I was like, that's some strange casting. But fucking hell, she looks like her.
I don't think it's too strange. Well, I mean, the fact that she's a brunette.
Well, I just thought of her as dark hair and dark skin. But also, and I was like...
But also, Marilyn Monroe used to have brown hair.
Brown hair, yeah.
Norma Jean.
Norma Jean, yeah. But she really looks like her. And the voice even. Yeah. It's a really short trailer. It's a teaser.
I haven't heard the voice.
I didn't realize it's a Netflix film, but it is. And I saw the trailer. It was really short. And the trailer's basically like a few little shots of like they've recreated really iconic moments. So it's her holding her dress down and a few other things like basically filmed versions of iconic pictures of Marilyn.
Mm.
But it looks really good. And I'm quite excited for that.
Do you want to get into the movie, boss man?
Let's get into Possession.
Possession.
All right, so Possession.
Do you want to give a brief synopsis? Actually,
you give a brief synopsis.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like you don't know how to give a synopsis.
I actually don't know how to give a synopsis on this film. Let's also just clarify. So we did say last week, but we both didn't watch this film. Like we never had seen it. And
so this is a new thing for the both of us.
Yeah.
And I just chose it because I knew I liked On the Silver Globe and it was...
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't going to be too hard to watch for Dan, kind of, because it was in English, but also...
I don't mind. It's not... I don't care about subtitles. It was quite a...
Give the synopsis. So, this guy who is a spy in West Germany in the 80s, he comes home and from being a spy, from his little mission, and his wife wants a divorce. And he's kind of, it's all about separation and they both don't really take it too well at all. And then some supernatural stuff starts happening and it all goes down the drain and it's pretty crazy.
I was confused the whole movie. Like.
I watched it twice.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, I only got a chance to watch it once.
And the first time I was a bit confused, kind of up until the end. And at the ending, I was like, oh, shit. I got to rewatch it now. So I rewatched it. And
yeah, the ending made no sense to me.
Did you?
I was just lost the whole time. I thought I was getting it, and then stuff would happen, and it was confusing.
Let's just assume that you guys have watched the movie.
Well, we should assume that. I don't know why.
You guys have watched the movie.
Yeah.
Well done. It was hard to find.
Yeah, if you're in Australia, it's hard to find. No. It's hard to find.
It's very hard to find.
You probably have to go buy a DVD. Other places in the world, I think you can get it on Amazon. Anyway, moving on.
So, what happens the ending? What did you think happened when his clone was there?
His clone,
do you know what that was?
Well, was that her weird thing that she was like making?
That was the monster.
That was the weird monster, was him.
That's the fully formed monster.
Well, see, what I was confused about, there was a moment in the film after he blows up her apartment and goes back where he walks in and he sees Margie dead and carries her up. And then he walks in and gives her a hug. And I had this moment in my head and went, oh shit, she's not the insane one. He's the insane one. And she's been at home the whole time. And I thought that was the whole thing.
No.
But then I was, I realized no. But I thought that would actually be a cool thing if that was the case. But that wasn't. So I don't know. I got a bit lost after that. I was confused.
So let me kind of break this down for you.
Yeah, please.
It's got a lot of layers to it.
Yeah.
He, after seeing the truth of her nature, you know, finding the body parts in the fridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's shocked by that. It's almost like he kind of becomes possessed, and it deals with giving into temptation about I was watching a video essay on it.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot to do with the temptation of other sexual desires or something after.
Yeah, it was a very sexual film.
Yeah.
It was a really, horny film, if that's what I can say. a real horny
the tentacle
horror
thing.
Yeah, and just some of the shots and the way things were.
I loved it whenever it switched to POV shots, close-ups.
Yeah.
That happened a couple of times. Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know, but there was just these shots, very suggestive, the way people were positioned and things.
It's once you wrap your head around it and you go in for your second viewing, it's so much better.
Yeah, I might have to watch it again. But I wouldn't call it, I would put it in the same category like what I was saying in episode one about 2001 A Space Odyssey. I don't know if it's entertaining. It's just like a mind fuck of a film.
Thought provoking.
It's thought provoking. But again, I just want to chuck on Possession. Hey guys, have you seen Possession?
It's not a McDonald's movie.
It is not a McDonald's movie.
Not in the slide. This is a fucking degustation of a fucking film.
A degustation of the film. You need to be in the zone. You need to be like, I want to watch Possession.
Well, you watch this film to have a big think.
Okay, I'm going to talk. I just have a few notes here.
The whole thing is about division.
I didn't get division. I just thought it was all about
I
just thought it was about, divorce division, yeah.
They spend time away from each other and
they can't cope.
It's almost like he can't cope without her.
Well, I don't think she can. She keeps fucking coming back. She made a clone of him. This is what I was so confused about.
Yeah, well, one of the themes is, it's almost like all of your partners
are the same, and that's why she plays the
teacher. Not the
as
same,
well.
But like, yeah, yeah, yeah. They resemble, something from, he's still, when he comes across the school teacher who he kind of falls in love with a bit.
It's the same actress with
Green. It's because it's so soon after he's had that division with his wife that, all he can see is her.
Yeah.
And
you know what? But I didn't catch it at first. You'd be surprised. It's a wig and some green contact lenses.
And also,
it's a good job of disguising it.
And the monster kind of represents what I saw this through a video essay. The monster represents everything that, what's the main character's name again? Sam Neill's character?
I can't remember. Let me check.
I know the wife's name was Annie, I think.
No, I think it was Anna.
Anna, that's right.
And
Mark? Is his name Mark?
Yeah, I think it's Mark. Yes.
The monster is everything
that he's not
kind of like a better version of himself and something that, you know, like he would hate to see his wife with, you know, obviously. Because he, you know, the monster pleasures her.
Strange movie. That's really all I got to say about. But I was confused as to why, there was some really weird, maybe it's because this guy, like, I don't know if he had help translating or, but there was some odd character interactions I felt. The second detective going in after his, you know, he just kind of walked in and then let himself be killed. It was a bit odd. Sometimes there was these weird things and I don't know if it's meant to.
I think it's done kind of on purpose to. I know it's very strange and it's
the whole movie's overacted.
It's to give an eerie effect.
But it just felt really unnatural.
It's supposed to feel unnatural, especially like even the first detective following her to her secret apartment. So dorky, you know.
One of my notes is shit private investigator.
Terrible.
Yeah, terrible.
And I think it's done on purpose to make it feel more eerie. Wrong. Like, you know how like in The Shining we were talking about how it's more subtle how the TV's playing, it's not connected or something. Is it the TV?
Yeah. But that's different, I think, because that's like a...
Yeah, I'm not sure how well it works. That's the one criticism I have.
Yeah.
That style. And obviously it works for some people because there's a lot of people that love this movie.
Yeah, it's not... I would definitely say I enjoyed it. It was just confusing. Very melodramatic as well. Very... Yeah. I think the overacting was intentional. It was overperformed.
Especially in the cafe scene.
Yeah. Oh, that's another note I have is yelling in a quiet cafe. Just absolutely losing it.
And that was done on purpose.
Yeah. Which...
I thought one of the best scenes, not the money shot, but... One of the best scenes was... do you remember after he receives that videotape of that... the ballet teaching bit. And directly after that bit, it cuts to... Anna
leaking shit.
No. That's later. That's the subway scene.
No.
This is when he's watching the video, and then it cuts to her speaking to someone who's holding the camera.
Mm.
Not in the ballet air. Not in the
ballet. I know what you're on about.
Right after that, and she's speaking and cut, and that's the first time that she gives her perspective on, you know, the breakup situation and, you know, where she lies with, you know, her romantic partner and stuff. And, you know, for a second I thought she was talking to Heinrich.
Well, and then I was really confused about the whole Heinrich thing and then his mum and why she was like, I found Heinrich's body, but where's his soul? Give me his... And it was really confusing.
I'll explain that in a bit. But you think she's talking to Heinrich or Mark when she's explaining herself about... you think she's talking to Heinrich, but no, it's actually she's talking to the creature.
Mm.
And I think you'd seen the creature one time before that. He killed the first private investigator.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the Heinrichs, I mean, Heinrich is everything that Mark is not. He's in control. He claims he has like a good understanding of himself and the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's more physically fit.
You know who he reminded me of?
He's a successful fucking drug dealer with this lavish house. Yeah, he looks after his mum as well. You know, like he's a perfect dude.
But you know who he reminded me of?
Jeremy Fragrance?
Yes, Jeremy Fragrance.
If you guys don't know Jeremy Fragrance, he's this guy on TikTok and he's like this weird German guy who reviews
fragrances
and colognes and perfumes and stuff.
And he loves screaming, power!
And he's all about masculinity and stuff. He's a weird guy.
He was just all white, the cocaine. Not that Jeremy Fragrance does cocaine, he just seems like he does.
I think, you know, the mum, his mum after Heinrich dies... because, you know, he claims that he's like a Buddhist or something and then she's very much a Christian and I think wants to be... She kills herself to be closer to him because she, you know, like in that phone call bit where she's talking to Mark before Mark visits her at the towards the end, she's talking about she's obviously already stumbled about upon his dead body, and then but she's still asking like, where is he? It's like, where is his soul? You know, like,
yeah, I was confused.
Yeah, a little bit strange.
I don't know. I think there was maybe it was just the nature of, I don't know. Obviously, it wasn't made for very much money. It didn't seem like it had a huge...
It's, look, on the scale of entertainment and art.
Way more on the art side.
Definitely.
Way more on the art side. It actually got more entertaining towards the end, but I think that's because it got a bit more spectacle. Like, he blew up the thing and they were like, the gunfight. So it got a bit more spectacle at the end.
So the reason why Mark... towards the end, tries to cover up Anna's, you know, wrongdoings and stuff by blowing up that apartment and killing Heinrich so he doesn't tell anyone, is because he feels like, oh, this is how I interpreted it, is, you know, through this I can...
win her back.
Win her back, yep.
Yeah. And then actually...
Because he, like, no matter how bad she is, he can't live without her kind of thing, even though it's a very toxic relationship. And then...
But you know what confused me as well? The final shot where it's the teacher, but are they implying it's not the teacher? And the kid just goes and jumps in the bath and I guess he drowns himself.
I think they should have delved into... What's the kid's name again? Bob?
Bob.
Strange. You never really come across kids called Bob these days, do you?
No, no. Bob is not a common name for kids at the moment.
You know, they should have delved a little bit more deep.
Is the kid possessed as well?
No, the kid's not. He just has. I feel like the reason he jumped in the bath is just of the emotional trauma that he had to go through with his parents fighting the whole time, and then he's.
But what kind of like 7-year old can make the decision to kill themselves? Maybe that's an ignorant thing to say.
It's an art piece, man. I don't know.
Maybe that's not the right thing to say, but I think
man's had enough.
I don't think that's realistic of 7-year-olds. Like, I don't want to make that sound like I'm discrediting if there's 7-year-olds that are struggling with depression or mental health problems, but I just don't think that's a really...
Even as
a horror film...
I do agree with that, yeah.
It's like, oh, this 7-year-old has had such traumatic experience that they've come to the conclusion they need to kill themselves. I don't know.
I think the eeriness was amped to a level that things seemed a bit confusing.
Yeah.
You do have to take everything super literally for it to make sense and not, but also at the same time.
But it's
not
a literal film. I don't know. It was a weird film.
Yeah.
That's all I can really say. But that's,
there were some really powerful moments though, don't you agree?
Absolutely.
Like, and really like off, like it does a great job at making me feel really icky and off put.
Yeah.
Like dirty. Like I just.
Yeah. But do you know what the whole thing with the final shot of the film is where. It's the teacher and the clone of...
Well, she gives in to the temptation because she's... Like, to open the door because she says, I want to... Like, to Bob. Bob says, don't open the door. I want to. Goes to the door.
But then I was also thinking of the symbolism of, like, it's the same lead actors, but now those characters are dead, but it's the clone of him and it's her who looks like...
Yeah.
So I was trying to figure out if that had some kind of, like... meaning to it because it is the same actors playing sort of the same but different characters. And then
I think that's something I have to
think about more yet.
I haven't had too much time to really let everything settle.
Well, I only finished it this morning.
Yeah, I feel like we needed a bit more time to make sense of it.
Maybe it is a confusion. Anyway, now I'm going to get a little bit more technical. I liked, but also thought it was overdone, how there is literally no static shots in the entire... It's constantly, like...
Except for the close-ups. And I feel like they... I feel like...
Intentional. It was definitely intentional.
So when they do have a static shot, it's more powerful.
It was a very dynamic film. Visually dynamic.
Yeah.
But because, like, even the first example where I noticed, I was like, wow, the camera's just never going to stop, is in that scene where he's like... I guess meeting with his bosses or something, and it just does a fucking 360 of the whole scene. Like it just, it's like moving. I was like, oh, okay, it's a little bit of a dolly shot, and then it just keeps. I was like, oh, it's still going. And
there's a lot of rotating, a
lot of spinning and moving, and a lot of.
I think that's also to make you feel a little bit of almost like motion sickness, you know, because it's not a comfortable
bit voyeuristic and just like watching in on everything.
Yeah. And but also, you know, like
getting
everything
a sense
spinning.
Of the environment. Yeah, true.
And you know, that's a sickening feeling when you're spinning around a lot.
That's true. Yeah.
But I do agree with you. There was also a lot of biblical references and references to
there's literally God Jesus and they talk about God. Yep.
And Isabella and Gianni, when she's moaning in front of the Jesus statue, when she like recounts that before she got off the subway and
had you know what was really weird in that subway scene? Don't understand the meaning of it. Where, again, it's private investigator, and she sits next to the homeless bloke on a big empty train. There's one guy on the whole train. She decides to sit next to him, and then he just takes the banana.
I feel like that's supposed to be a...
she's just totally out of it
or
something?
No, a metaphor. I mean, she doesn't care, but a metaphor of how men always take things from her, you know, take what they need from her. And I feel maybe... I'm not sure.
But then
she chooses
to put herself in that. If you want to use that as the metaphor, she chooses to sit right next to him. So it's more like she
something
chooses...
Something to... I don't know. Maybe there's...
It was weird.
I mean, maybe that's a... That short bit symbolizes a part of the movie that we have to deconstruct, but I can't be fucked. I did think when I was watching it that the creature kind of resembles some sort of antichrist, because there are multiple moments in the movie where they almost refer to this creature as like God. And remember when Mark is telling Heinrich after Heinrich saw the creature, and Mark hadn't like properly seen it yet.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, maybe you saw God and you didn't even know, you know, like try and take the piss out of it. But there are multiple references to like, I think there's one bit where Mark asks Anna, like, who is he? Who are you sleeping with? And then, Anna goes like, Jesus is like a, you know, like as a, it sounds dismissive, but when you look back at it, it's like, I think it's direct reference to like some sort of antichrist where they almost both start worshipping this
creature.
And thinking that it's like some sort of God. And then at the end it's, you know, like that creature kills the both of them.
Yeah.
And it's,
I don't know. I'm so confused.
And there's also some sexual temptation involved
stuff around it. But the other thing that, when I first saw the creature, I thought it was just like a really like beat up body. I thought it was
That creature fucking put chills through, especially when you get the close up of the face.
Yeah, it's really gross.
And it's long and blood and...
Yeah, it was very unnerving. It was really good, well done, considering I don't think they had much money for the film.
Yeah.
Like it looked pretty legit. I mean, but...
I think it's puppeteers or, you know, people who made that creature were the same people who worked on Alien, I think.
I was just going to guess that, based off where you were going.
After I looked through the Wikipedia article and apparently
Alien.
The people who made the Xenomorphs or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I will say, but also the movie, some films are just like this. It's just so 80s. Like
some of the sounds and
the
stuff.
The music, the gunshots.
Especially early 80s.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
The gunshots, there's this thing that
there's
nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, but it just has that feel. It's
Let's just say you're not judging the film, you're judging the 80s.
The 80s. I'm judging this just the way in which, but it's like, and maybe this is a thing of the films I've grown up with, but there's a very distinct vibe of pre-CGI gunshots in movies that are obviously blanks. And they have this sound that's... Because now when you see gunshots in films, very, very like produced, the sounds, especially in action movies, you know, there's like, there's digital muzzle flashes added after. Whereas older films like this, like a lot of movies, it has this a much more echoey kind of rattly gunshot sound. And it's usually very smoky and there's not always a muzzle flash because it's probably shot for real. But there's a vibe. There's just a vibe. And the squibs, the blood squibs. Like the blood bursting out of their body. It's all practical. There's just an energy it has that's very specific to the 80s.
Look, when I first started watching it, especially because like the sound quality wasn't that good, I'm not sure if that was just because of the copy,
the version we were watching, yeah,
or like, I mean, I'm pretty sure they didn't have like fucking lav mics or anything. They probably just had a boom, and
it seemed like some of it was dubbed for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Like, not, I don't think too much of it was dubbed, but
there was bits.
There were bits, and there was.
It wasn't bad, but you could tell.
Yeah. But also, they also had the budget to, like, fucking blow up a building. So, like, you know.
True.
Not sure about that.
What are you looking for?
But it does have that, like, video nasty, like, horror vibe to it. Especially with that music. And
it's the music. But 80s music, it's like, it's even like when we were watching, which I don't know if we'll review or not because of all the hype at the moment, but Top Gun. Like, Seb hadn't seen Top Gun, and I want to go watch the new one. I think it's still in cinemas. Did you finish it?
No.
Oh, I want to go. Anyway, but Top Gun.
I've been so busy working recently, so I just haven't had the time.
Yeah, I guess. But iconic, there's just something about movies made in the 80s. Like, even, like, Back to the Future. But I think that's different because that film is it's about like the 80s.
That music style.
The music style, yeah. But it's the same as when you watch shit from, like, the 40s, and it's the music, the way that movies are scored. It has that same, I get that's just the nature, I think. But you can just tell.
Yep.
It's just you go, oh, this movie was made in the 80s, and you can just tell.
Yep.
But it doesn't take away from the movie. I don't know. It sounds like I'm critiquing the movie. I can just, it's just a thing.
What did you think of the subway scene where she, you see her, where it's her
oozes colourful liquid.
Yep.
I was really confused, very unnerving, very uncomfortable. I was just, that was probably the most uncomfortable part of the film for me.
That being right after, back to what I was talking about with her moaning in front of Jesus, that, well, she's describing and recounting that as the moment where there's kind of this, like, thing they talk about, analogy thing about, like, sister chance and sister faith. And it's almost like, you know, the devil versus Jesus or whatever, you know, like the good versus evil. And, you know, her being in the church at, you know, recounting before she has that full breakdown. That's supposed to be like a, I feel like that was kind of her, you know, because she's like a sacrificial lamb, like begging for forgiveness or something.
Oh, well, no, I know what you mean about, like, is she representing, is this more like talking about religion and stuff, and she's representing like a sinner, and she's going to Jesus, like, asking for forgiveness for all of the bad shit she's done, all the people she's killed.
Maybe not forgiveness, because she is recounting, I don't know, like, maybe she feels this divide happening between her and her husband, and...
But does that, maybe that represents, if the weird creature is like the devil, does that represent, maybe it's all about religion, maybe it represents her division from God and some shit, or maybe she's meant to be Eve, and it's like Adam and Eve story, and the devil's taken her over.
But
and
then, in the subway scene, rewatching it, right directly after that, when she gets off the train, she's down that long corridor and has that fit of, that's basically her getting possessed. And then afterwards, when she's recounting it after that cutscene, she says that it's almost like what she was saying is the oozing of all the fluid coming out of her is all of sister faith, or the good in her just
exiting her body.
Exiting her body as sister chance. I'm not sure completely what this sister faith and sister chance thing was.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I found it hard to understand some dialogue, especially because of the strong German accents from.
Was Samuel trying to do it German?
He was just
being Australian. But weird. That's not what
British, he's. British Australian.
He was,
I
doing
guess,
a weird, because that's not what he sounds like in Jurassic Park or in any other. I mean, Jurassic Park's 10 years after that movie, but.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like that in
Very
anything
young,
else.
Very young Samuel. In that movie.
Is that his first proper movie?
No. I think he was in My Brilliant Career or something, which is another Australian film.
Right.
But like a small role, and then Jaworski, I think.
Was that his first leading role?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know, but he was doing some kind of accent, I swear.
One of the most chilling bits, I thought, was where after she cuts her neck and then he...
Oh, and then he just hacks into his arm. Yeah.
I was a bit confused.
I was confused because he does it really casually. He's just like, yep. I thought it was a bit weird.
Yeah, it's just so off-putting.
It is really off-putting. And she's like, oh, it doesn't hurt.
And he goes, no.
No. Yeah, that was weird. I thought... Again, there were moments in the film where I was like, oh.
I think that's the beginning of his kind of...
unraveling.
It's almost... Yeah, I feel like he kind of goes insane towards the end as well.
Yeah, well, that's what I was...
Right after he discovers the... That moment, another chilling moment, was just like after he discovers the body parts in the fridge of her secret apartment.
Mm.
And then he's like, has this weird panic attack. Again, with the spinning camera around him, making you dizzy and stuff. And he goes outside and then it's like his kind of shock at what happens turns into this like sadistic smile.
Yeah.
Another bit where Isabella and Gianni does that is where right after he hits her. No. She hits him and then...
Yeah?
This is an argument towards the start, I think, of the film. Maybe it's in the middle somewhere. And then it cuts to a POV shot of him looking at her and you see her. And then, like, a sadistic smile erupts.
Mm.
Oh, and another great bit is... sorry. I really loved the whole movie as a whole.
There's a lot of good bits. I know what you're saying.
A lot of good chunks, and then there's some bits where I feel a bit too confused about.
Yeah,
and so you know, but like I feel like that'll like there are movies that I've watched like that where I felt confused, and then slowly things start like you know it kind of shakes a snow globe in my brain, and then things start to settle, and then I like over time, I understand the movie more. Mm. And it's one of those movies where you kind of have to rewatch it. And even so, there's still just a lot to unpack to get a full scope of what you're watching.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Should we get onto our money shots?
Right after this. Hold on.
Okay, go on.
Another bit which was kind of right after that bit of the smile erupting on her face was he hits her a ton of times and he's like, this is for the lies. And then she goes, well, you have to add much more than that. Like, you have to hit me more to, you know.
For all the lies, yeah.
Because I've lied much more than you could
imagine.
Than you think. And I was like, that's badass. That. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good bit.
Oh, and also, sorry.
Fucking hell, sorry, you sorry, sorry.
I loved, I thought it was, I don't know, it's just unnerving enough off-putting how they, like, communicate to each other. Even from the, one of the opening scenes where they're in bed together after he just gets home and then he, you know.
I liked how that the shot you're talking about with the lying there, the top down of them naked in bed, and then there's, like, that's kind of mirrored later with the teacher and those, they are naked in bed. It's, like, the same.
Yeah,
thing, and then it's the same actress.
There was this one bit of dialogue that I loved, but I
can't remember the line.
Yeah, whatever, man. also, just like I don't know the way that he like puts down his suitcase, like in the opening shot, and then he picks it back up, and he puts it down again. It's just off-putting.
Actually, there was a really off-putting bit. I don't know
because he's like, okay, I'm gonna go inside with my wife. Something's wrong.
Okay, I'm gonna go inside my yeah. I was going to say, there was a really off-putting bit where, I don't know if it was with the teacher or with her, when they're lying in bed together.
It does a great job at making you feel really uncomfortable.
Yes. The bit I'm talking about, though, is he kind of cuddles up to her like he's a little kid. I don't know if you remember that bit, but he sort of, they don't cuddle like a lovers in bed. He cuddles up to her kind of like, he lies, you know, with his hands there, like snuggles up to her. And I was just, that was a bit weird. That made me a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's almost like she's...
Also, why does that teacher just, like, shows up and then just casually looks after his kid?
I don't know
if that's a cultural thing or, like...
Germans are weird, man.
But I don't know. He's just like, do you mind just, like, fucking bathing him for me whilst I go over chat with this coke addict out the front? And she's like, yeah, sure.
I think that just might be a cultural thing.
Maybe. And then, but even the same as like, why does her friend just pop round to help with the kid, Marge?
Because she's not there.
I know, but no, I don't know.
I think he calls Marge to
help out.
Come look after the kid whilst yeah. he's like.
And then there's the weird interactions between him and Marge where like Marge's like, I don't like you.
Yeah, and then she hugs him.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some weird bits in the movie again. Yeah,
but stuff for me to think about. Maybe, you know what? Maybe in the next episode we'll just give some little thoughts at the start.
About possession.
About possession, just to, you know, after we've had a good think about it. Because I'm gonna I'll probably watch it again.
Yeah, I might have to watch it again.
Like, watch it a third time.
Yeah. All right, on to...
The Money Shot.
The Money Shot.
What was... Oh, no, I get to go first this week.
You get to go first.
Mine was, and we've already talked about this moment multiple times, and I have a feeling it might also be yours, just based off how much we've talked about it.
I don't think it's going to be.
Okay. Mine is the shot of her oozing, because it just really unnerved me.
It is. It's
it
very...
Really un- and, it was cool when it was, I was like, what's the white stuff? And then there was red. I was like, oh, it's blood. There's some, and then there was green. And I was
fluid.
Like, just shit coming out. And it made, and then it just cuts out of it back to whatever was them sitting on the couch chatting. And I got really confused and it made me really uncomfortable. So that's, I think that's my money shot. I really liked that. Originally, I was going to say the three cars blowing up one after the other, but that's not really, it was cool, but it's not really the essence of the film. So no. I changed it to pick something that was more fitting to the movie and what's more important, because that was me just going, oh cool, three cars exploding, awesome. But
that's
my shot.
I feel like you're going to win again, because that's a very visually striking shot, and the shot that I'm going to pick is, you know, you gotta have to
have context.
Well, I think it's really powerful in the moment.
Yeah, go on.
And that's the bit of the smile erupting after she's been hit and the like.
Oh yeah. That is still a very good
shot.
The
POV where she's looking straight down the barrel and the smile erupts. And a lot of people, having this film being on my watch list for a very long time, when a lot of people online talk about possession, you know, that shot is mentioned a lot.
That's the shot, yeah.
And I thought it was very powerful. In that moment, I think you're still going to win, because a lot of people are probably not going to be able to find the film and they're just going to not see have the context of it.
Yeah.
But another one I did...
What was your back? Is this your backup?
Yeah. Well, my backup was going to be that shot, but I thought you would pick that.
I wasn't, and then I changed my mind because I think the explosion thing's, again, not in line with the rest of the film.
What else were you going to choose?
I didn't pick a backup.
Oh, right.
I mean, I didn't need to, but I could have. I guess if I...
I guess another visually striking shot is when she's getting fucked by the
tentacle. That's what I was just about to say, getting fucked by the tentacle. Or actually another cool shot, but again, was more of just which is a bit of a swag shot, is when you see the, from the outside, the apartment burning down and that woman's like cackling.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets out and gets on the motorbike and drives off. That was kind of cool. But again, I wanted to pick something that was more the essence of the movie, those are visually cool. Whereas even though the one I picked is visually cool, it's important to the film. So is the explosions, but they're just more of like, that's not really in line with the movie.
I'll just list off a couple shots which I also thought were quite good.
All right, go.
Him on the motorbike screaming.
Yeah, that was cool too.
And where he's right in the center coming towards
when he stacks it off the motorbike, also cool.
Oh, that was a stunt double, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And when he jumps out of the car, I don't think Sam... But fucking looked pretty hard. I mean...
Yeah, I know, eh?
It's like, there's only so much you can... Like, I watch... shout out to Corridor Crew. I watch their, like, stunt double and visual effects artist reacts. But fucking, sometimes they talk about it. It's just like, yeah, you can pad up and stuff, but...
No, it still doesn't look very comfortable.
It still doesn't. It is but also, shout out to the female stunt doubles, because they have it fucking hard. Like... As in, especially, like, talking about superhero movies and stuff, and you hear, like, all the men saying women have it so much harder because they have to wear a quarter of the amount of clothes and do the same fucking stunts.
Yeah.
So, shout out to female stunt doubles.
Good work.
Shout out to all stunt doubles.
Love your work.
Seems like a really, really difficult job. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it either.
But, good work.
They must get paid a lot.
Yeah, for sure. But the sad thing... I think with stunt doubles is a lot of them dedicate, you know, a lot of them know multiple martial arts and you know, they dedicate their life to this, and then they have one injury that fucks them for a bit and they're done.
It's so
but
bad.
It's kind of like athletes. It is a sport, really. Well, not a sport, but it is a...
Well, you're putting, you know, your body on the line, you know?
But it's a very physically demanding career, and once you do yourself in, that's it. For a lot, yeah. Well, and that's when a lot of them become stunt coordinators once they're done with doing actual stunt work.
Right.
The good ones, anyway. And then some of them become directors of, like, action movies and stuff.
Anyway, my other...
Sorry, yeah. Sidetrack.
One of my other money shots was... Even though I'm still trying to unpack what it meant, I still thought it was very powerful at the end where the creature was at the door of the school teachers.
Oh, with her doing the big eyes and you see the silhouette of him through the frosted glass door.
Yeah. Confusing. And you hear the, like, I think there's like bombs.
Yeah, yeah, there's bombs and like flashing and shit. Yeah, I don't know.
I thought that was powerful because, you know, it's both them, but it's not, you know.
That's what I mean. That's what I was saying before.
Towards each other again.
That's what I was saying before.
Yeah, I thought that was powerful, but I'm still trying to unpack what it means. But because I don't fully understand what it means, that's why I didn't choose it.
That's fair. But I don't really understand what the oozing liquid shit means, really. But I
it's,
just...
Right, yeah, it's her exercising... Well, it's the... Evil exercising the good from her.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It just really unnerved me at the time. And I was like, ah, when I was watching it. Yeah.
So weird, man.
Strange film. But I'm happy we watched it. It was a good one.
Oh, I was going to say, you know how the whole thing's about division?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's set right on the Berlin Wall. That was done intentionally.
I see.
Did you understand that when you watched
it? No, I didn't catch that. But yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like they can't stand each other when they're with each other. And then once they're away, once he's away from her, he wants to get back to her.
That's fascinating.
And he throughout the whole thing, he kind of, you know, sees her as like a, almost like they kind of see, I'm not sure about her, but, you know, he kind of sees her as a... As a temptation and as like something.
I think there's a lot of subtext in this film. Yeah, we're just not going to get to in an hour.
You know what?
And we're already gone kind of over time.
Let's just finish, man. it's too much.
You can keep talking and talking.
We should have watched it a bit earlier than like.
Maybe. Look, if you're interested in us, if you guys are interested in us talking for longer, like that's something we can think about doing. Maybe not on the normal podcast, but we can look at like. You know, having...
Oh, it's already fucking long.
It's already long, but I don't know. Maybe people like listening to us talk. I don't really know.
Hey, regardless, I think you guys should give us money on Patreon.
That's what I was going to.
Just like
say.
Elizabeth Stout.
Thanks. Shout out.
Thanks, Elizabeth Stout. First patron.
I was going to say that we can chuck...
Patron.
I always say Patreon.
Patreon. Well, that's what...
That's the name. No, but patron... You can become a patron, but it's Patreon is the website. Yeah.
Thanks, Elizabeth Stout, for being a good patron on Patreon.
But yeah, if you guys want us to talk for longer, like we could definitely chuck that in, I think. We could add that as a tier on the... Or just if you...
We already know that like the audience for this episode is probably very low.
Tiny.
Because not a lot of people have seen it. But also at the same time, for the people who have seen it, there's not a lot of content out there for people to watch about it if they want to learn more into it. So.
That is true. So it might do well. Who knows?
Who knows? But thank you guys very much for listening. Those who stayed for the long run, especially since it was a very obscure movie.
Absolutely. Next week, I think next week we are doing, we won't say, but we're going to do a movie that Seb hasn't seen that I've seen before.
Yep.
Cool. And on that note, I've been Dan.
I've been Seb.
We will see you next week.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.